G'day everyone, this is B. Jermaine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome back to the fourth episode of my 2018 MIFF Audio Reviews. For this episode, I will be reviewing the films Damsel, Murder Me Monster, Ghost Hunter, and The World Is Yours. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is the subversive Western comedy Damsel, which is the newest film from from David and Nathan Zellner, the directors behind the 2014 film Kimiko the Treasure Hunter. And the plot summary for this film, which I am once again reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. Robert Pattinson and Mia Wasikowska play Samuel Alabaster and his bride-to-be Penelope. However, a vast expanse of prairie, a stalking brute, played by co-director Nathan Zellner, and plenty of secrets stand in the way of their wedded bliss. Embarking upon a rescue quest when Penelope is obscenely kidnapped, Samuel buys a miniature horse and enlists the help of a drunken preacher, played by co-director David Zellner. Alas, it takes more than the ambling posse's efforts or Samuel's humorous ditty, Honey Bun, to save the couple's romance. Now, I actually have seen the Zellner brothers' previous film, Kimiko the Treasure Hunter, a couple years back when it did play at MIFF, and while I thought it was a very interesting and unique film that really did a pretty decent job sort of telling that kind of sort of urban legend story that it was going for, I did find the movie a little bit of a mixed bag. But at the same time, though, it did showcase that these two directors are definitely ones to watch because they're ones who definitely like to tackle really interesting and also very off-kilter material. So Damsel, when I heard this was playing at MIFF, I definitely put this on my must-see list for sure, particularly since the film also stars Robert Pattinson and Mia Wasikowska, who, in my opinion, are probably two of the best young actors working today. I know people sort of bash Robert Pattinson, you know, for his work in Twilight, and even understandably, because let's just face it, you could put Daniel Day-Lewis in the Twilight series, and even he would come out looking bad, But honestly, ever since, you know, he left that series behind, Robert Pattinson has become one of the most interesting and unique young actors working today because he always picks really interesting material and directors to work with on his films. And to me, he's just been delivering some really great performances lately. And the same with Mia Wasikowska, who, I mean, it can be a bit biased since I'm Australian and she's also an Australian and I'm automatically a fan of hers, but she's just a great actress all around, and I've always enjoyed her no matter what film she's in. So them in Damsel was definitely a big coup for me to check it out. And I have to say, though, even though I wasn't the biggest Kimiko the Treasure Hunter fan, I really enjoyed this one a lot more than that one. To me, it was kind of it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, a very sort of subversive take on the Western, and the Zellner brothers did such a really great job delivering a film that is both really funny, subversive, of course, and just kind of goes against all your expectations. Just when you think you know where the movie's going to go, it goes off in a completely different direction. And it's really funny as well. Like, there were so many times during the course of this film I just thought were pretty hilarious. And I just really enjoyed the vibe of it as well. Like, sometimes, even though there is a lot of comedy in the film, and sometimes it does shift its tone a little bit to be a little bit more serious in certain scenes, but it never feels uneven because of that. It just feels quite on tone with the rest of the film. And also just everyone in the film is just great. Like, as expected, both Robert Pattinson and Mia Wasikowska both deliver great performances in the film. But believe it or not, as great as both of them are in this film, to me, the standout of this whole film is co-director David Zellner, who plays the drunken preacher in the film. If anything, he's really the real main character of the story. Like, we're kind of watching all of this madness that is happening during the course of the film through his eyes. Like, his character, like, there's also a younger version of his character early on in the film, and then we go a few years later with David Zellner playing the part. So that character is kind of like our eyes throughout this whole film, and I thought it was interesting that the film did that. But there's a really good reason why that is, because we're kind of seeing all of this from his point of view, like with all this stuff happening. And he and David Zellner did such a wonderful job as an actor as well. Like, his performance is great. And also his brother and co-director and co-writer, Nathan Zellner, he also shows up in a really memorable part as well. And he did a good job in his performance as well. Like, it's beautifully shot. It has a great score. And what I really like about it is it doesn't feel like a realistic Western. And David Zellner, who was actually there at the screening and did a and introduced the film beforehand, did say that this is not a true-to-life Western. It has more of a sort of fantastical feel to it. And you kind of get that sense throughout it, because it doesn't feel like, even though it is a Western, it just doesn't feel like a traditional Western. And that's probably why I really like the film so much, because I'm not the, even though I do enjoy a lot of Westerns, it's not really my favorite film genre out of all of them. But I really dug this one a lot. I thought it was just great. I really just enjoyed it. It was fun, it's hilarious, and it takes you by surprise. And it has a lot of great moments in it that are just quite memorable. And of course, a lot of great performances as well. So for me, Damsel is definitely one of the high points of Myth for me so far this year. And it's definitely one to check out for sure. For if you're a big fan of off-kilter, kind of quirky Westerns. Like, I can see some people saying it's a little twee and maybe too quirky for its own good, but it's the kind of quirk I like that doesn't feel overbearing or obnoxious. So if I had to give Damsel a rating, I'd give it a solid 4.5. I really enjoyed this one that much. Now moving on to the next film, which is the horror film Murder Me Monster, which it's a co-production between France, Argentina and Chile. So it's kind of a so it's from a co-production between those three films. And so the plot summary for this film is as follows. In the shadow of Andes, something sinister is happening as mutilated and decapitated women's bodies begin appearing with increasingly frequency. The task of investigating these gruesome murders falls to rural police officer Cruz. Suspicion, meanwhile, lands on David, who claims a psychic link to the killer, but Cruz is not convinced. Something just doesn't add up. Now, I had not heard of Murder Me Monster prior to reading the film in the Myth Program Guide, but once I saw that title, and this does tend to happen to me every year, sometimes I'll flip through the program guide and I'll come across a film whose title just instantly catches my eye right away. It's happened quite a few times over the years where I'll just basically watch a film based on its title alone. And for this year, it's without a doubt Murder Me Monster. As soon as I read that title, I was like, what? That is such a great title for a movie. And I thought, you know what? I don't know what this film is about. I'm just going to check it out. And I have to say, though, overall, I think the film itself is a bit of a mixed bag, but I kind of dug it because of that. And I know for a fact that a lot of people who did watch the film, especially the reactions of everyone after the film, was kind of mixed to negative. And watching the film, especially by the end of it, I can definitely understand completely why that is, because the film is a bit all over the place and it is really weird. But I don't know, I kind of dug it because of that. Not to say that it doesn't have problems. It does have problems and it's an incredibly flawed film, but it has a lot of elements to it that I just found quite interesting overall. And the reason why it's called Murder Me Monster, there's actually an actual reason why it's called that in the film, but I won't give away what that is. And to be honest, though, when I went into it, I was kind of expecting a serial killer film. That's at least what I thought it was going to be. But as it sort of begins, it becomes a lot more than that. And I kind of don't want to say too much about it, but I'll say this: it was definitely not the film that I expected when going in. And you'll understand why within the first 10-15 minutes why that is. And yeah, I just found this such a weird, bizarre little film. And I mean, it, like I said, it does have its problems. Like, it is about at 2 hours long. It is a bit overlong, and there were moments where I felt the pacing did drag a lot and it did get a little dull in spots. But at the same time, though, it has a really creepy atmosphere to it that really hooked me in. And I think sort of setting it in the area that it is, the Andes. I think it's Andes or Andes. I'm not exactly sure. So I apologize if I butcher the name wrong. It really adds a different flavor to it. Actually, if I had to describe it, if you ever seen the film Once Upon a Time in Anatolia, that's what the film kind of reminded me of. Think of that, but with a much more, but as a horror film and with a bit more of a supernatural edge to it. So that's kind of what the film reminded me of when I was watching it. And like I said, it has a really interesting atmosphere. I thought the cast did really well, and I really liked that, you know, they had a really interesting sort of unique cast members. Like like everyone did such a really good job in their roles. And again, like Damsel, you're kind of just not exactly sure where this film is going to go. And to be honest, though, when it got to the very end of the film, there's a scene that happens towards the end. I'm just sitting there like, what the hell am I watching? I don't want to ruin what it is. Like I said, I would say it's worth checking out just for that alone. I was like, what is this? I don't know whether to be creeped out or laugh or just like, it was, like I said, this movie was not what I expected at all. And in a lot of ways, that's kind of what I dug about it. Like I said, I can totally get why people will hate this movie and why people hated this movie. But I thought it was interesting. And to me, interesting will always win out for me in the end. But yeah, I mean, it had a lot of interesting elements to it that I just found watchable. Like it does suffer some really bad pacing problems. There are aspects of the story I kind of wish the film went a little bit further with, and it does tend to drag and get a little dull at times, but overall I thought it was okay. Like, it's not a great film by any means, but it's certainly far from a bad one, but it's an interesting film, I'll say that. And it is pretty insane as well, especially that last 15 minutes that just needs to be seen to be believed. So if I had to give Murder Me Monster a rating, I'd give it a solid 3 out of 5. Like, I dug it for most part, but it's definitely a love it or hate it film for sure. Now, moving on to movie number 3, which is the Australian documentary Ghost Hunter. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. This is the story of Jason King, a security guard in Sydney's western suburbs by day who conducts paranormal investigations throughout the area at night. Jason, the survivor of trauma, is driven to discover the truth behind his father's long-time absence. The search for the truth, however, brings him up close and personal with a dark legacy. Now, I want to start off right off the bat. If you do check out Ghost Hunter, try to go in as blind as you possibly can, because there's a lot of... I haven't watched the trailer to this film, but... because most of the time I usually try to avoid film trailers for a lot of the films playing at MIFF, especially ones that I've never heard of before, because I kind of want to be surprised about what I'm getting myself into as I'm watching them. But I'll say this, though. Definitely try not to read up too much about Ghost Hunter. Just go in completely blind as possible. Because I'll say this, though. This documentary was absolutely fantastic. And I just found it such a completely riveting film from beginning to end. And it's kind of one of the documentaries that I like, where it starts off being one thing, but as it sort of progresses along and you learn more stuff, what is happening within the story, it keeps shifting, I guess, in its narrative, and like what's happening. And a lot of the stuff that happens in the film is just, it just takes you by surprise, and it takes you down some interesting and very dark roads that I honestly was not expecting. Like, when I did read a little bit of the synopsis beforehand, I kind of had a feeling what it might be about, at least basically about a man who is who's had a dark past, doesn't really remember what happened, and tries to go back to find out what happened in those times that he can't remember, and him discovering what happened during that time. in a lot of ways, like, I think it's deliberate that the title of the film, Ghost Hunter, is kind of has a double meaning, being that he is a guy who, in his spare time at night, he does ghost hunting tours and ghost does, you know, go. And at the same time, Ghost Hunter, as in he's looking into the ghosts of his own past. So, the like, in that way, I found it interesting in how the title uses that as a double meaning. And I think that is deliberately so. And to me, it's just a brilliant documentary. I just found it, like I said, enthralling and deeply disturbing as well, especially when we kind of learn more about what's happening. And also, Jason King, the man at the center of this documentary, is such a fascinating individual that as it's interesting, like, when we learn more about him as the documentary goes on, things just, and how everything just comes to light, it just makes he's such an interesting, complex figure to do a documentary on. And that's what I kind of really dug about the film, is that in a lot of ways, this is kind of a warts. This is kind of like, the film leaves kind of no stone unturned when it comes to sort of focusing on this guy's life. You kind of see the good, the bad, everything. And I think the film, Ben Lawrence, who was the director of this film, did such a great job showing that and capturing all these moments on film. And it's such a really, yeah, it's just a fantastic documentary. I was really pleasantly surprised. I thought, okay, from the sounds of it, it might be something that could be good. But man, it just, to me, this is what was, without a doubt, one of the best films I've seen so far at MIFF. And this is one of the first few so far that I've given the highest rating I could possibly give. And there's a good reason for that. It is just a fantastic documentary. And believe me, when this gets released, definitely check this out. It is worth it for sure. And like I said, try not to go in knowing too much about it, because it is quite a journey that you're taken on. But at the same time, though, it is a very dark journey as well. So be prepared for that. But at the same time, it is worth checking out for sure. It is a fantastic documentary that everyone should check out. So my rating for this one is definitely 5 out of 5. It is a fantastic documentary. Like I said, when it comes out, see it. Don't read anything about it. Just go into it blind. You won't regret it. Now, moving on to the fourth and final film for this episode, which is the French crime comedy, The World Is Yours. And the plot summary for this is as follows. Francois isn't cut out to be a gangster. Gentle and optimistic, he's bafflement to his mother, the vindictive and cutthroat Danny, who has raised him in the dog-eat-dog badlands of Paris's low-rent underworld. All Francois wants is to buy a house and the North African rights to the Mr. Freeze ISIL lolly franchise, and to get the hell out of Paris. But when he finds out that Danny has gambled away his nest egg, Francois realizes he's going to have to do one more last job before he can escape. Again, like a lot of films that I saw at MIFF this year, I wasn't aware of The World Is Yours prior to reading it in the MIFF program guide. But when I sort of read up a little bit about it, it just sounded such an interesting film. And it also sounded like it could be a really fun film as well, because it is a French crime comedy. And I mean, knowing that the fact that I'll be seeing a lot of films at MIFF and a lot of it is going to be really heavy, really serious works, it's always good to find a film amongst that's playing that's kind of a lot more lighter, a lot more fun. So that way it kind of gives that release. And I figured, well, The World Is Yours could fit that bill. And I have to say, I really enjoyed the film overall. Like, it's definitely not a perfect film by any means, but I had a really good time with it. Like, it does, I will say this though, I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really sort of provide anything too new that we haven't seen before in other crime films before. And I could definitely also see sort of that Guy Ritchie influence as well in regards to a lot of aspects of the film's plot. But I still found it quite a fun and engaging film overall. And I really liked sort of the energetic feel that it had. Because the film was directed by Romain Gavras. I probably butchered his name, so forgive me for that. He's a music video director who's worked on so many music videos, and particularly probably some of his best known music videos is doing the music videos for Bad Girls by MIA, and as well as Kanye West and Jay-Z's No Church in the Wild. So you can definitely get that sort of music video aesthetic through the way that he sort of directs the film. And he also co-wrote it as well. But at the same time, he has a really good grasp of delivering a fun, really funny, and just entertaining crime caper. And like, the film is also does take itself, that also has a serious edge to it as well. So it's a film that is played completely straight and does have aspects of drama in it. And like Damsel, it doesn't sort of feel out of tone with the rest of the film, especially if you have sort of these sort of really off-kilter sort of more very humorous moments. But overall, I really enjoyed it. It has a great soundtrack to it. I mean, if you're going to have a music video director make this film, you know for a fact that it's going to have some pretty cool soundtrack to it as well. And also the cast do a really good job as well. And it has, everyone in the cast does a really good job with their roles, but definitely for me, without a doubt, the two best performances in the film are Isabelle Adjani, who plays the role of Francois' mother, Danny. She pretty much completely steals every scene that she's in. And you can, even though she is kind of a villain, but you can't help but be entertained by her as a character. And also Vincent Cassel kind of plays like a friend of Francois who helps him out with his last job. And he does and Cassel does such a great job with his role as well. And I really like the sort of the interesting elements he brought to that are brought to that character, especially when he starts getting obsessed with conspiracy theories, particularly stuff with the Illuminati, which is kind of a funny running gag throughout the whole film. And also it has a pretty good solid supporting cast as well. And yeah, I thought it was a really solid film. Like I said, it's not an entirely original film by any means. And, you know, I've seen other films of this type that have been done better. But for what it is, The World Is Yours, I found quite an enjoyable film overall. So, and it was a good kind of, you know, sort of easy viewing in the mix of all the sort of more sort of serious films that I saw at MIFF this year. So if I had to give The World Is Yours a rating, I'd give it a solid 3.5. And I'd say it's worth checking out for sure. So yep, that's the end of this fourth episode of my 2018 MIFF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and keep a lookout very soon for episode 5, in which I'll be reviewing the films Burning, The Kindergarten Teacher, Sheik Jackson, and Dogman. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you all later. See you guys. Bye.